John chapter 14, verse 15. God's Word Translation. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo here, Bible Before Breakfast. These words are so deep. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. What a word to wake up to this morning. Every time I look at this scripture, no matter what way I look at it and no matter what version I read it in, the message is clear. If you don't obey my commandments, you don't love me. How many times have we disobeyed God? And we tell ourselves that we really love him. But he's very clear on his stand. If you love me, you will obey me. As simple as that. Nothing added, nothing taken from it, nothing. No thrills and frills, no ribbons, nothing. Just a simple statement. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. So obedience is proof of love. Proof of love is obedience. So many times I think about people that I have heard do great things for God in the Bible, especially because, you know me, I like to read my Bible. But then I think about how crazy it must have been and the sacrifice they must have made. Because a lot of times we tell ourselves that times were different back then. That's why it was easy for them to obey. I don't think so. I just think that they understood that obedience was proof of love. They didn't make excuses. They knew if you loved someone, you would obey them. Simple and short. Let's read James chapter 2 from verse 19 to 26. It's a bit of a read, but you will enjoy it. It's the Message translation. It says, "Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful?" That's just great. It says, demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works? That the works are works of faith. The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his action. It's that weave of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God, not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't that action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing? What counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. These two people have just taken love, faith, and action to a whole different level for me. Now let's look at Abraham. Genesis 22, you'll find the story there. God says to Abraham, Abraham, and says, yes, here I am. I'm sure after he heard the next thing God had to say, he wished he didn't say, yes, here I am. And then God says to him, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. You know, I've always thought about, why did God have to emphasize on the son? Because God could have said, take your son, and Abraham would have said, oh great, now I get rid of Ishmael. But he just thought to himself, you know, God said, take my son. And then God said, your only son. And he was like, yeah, only son? Yes, God says, yes, Isaac is the only recognized son. He's the son of promise. And I know you love him so much. Now I want you to go to the land of Moriah and go there and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. So I want you to kill him and I want you to set him ablaze. Crazy. But you know what Abraham did? Abraham got up early the next morning. Think about it. Abraham got up early the next morning. He didn't even miss a beat. Early in the morning, he was up. He saddled his donkey, took two of his servants and his son Isaac. He didn't try to best God. He didn't try to pretend that, oh, Ishmael is actually Isaac. Maybe God wouldn't know. Maybe God would be deceived. He didn't try to pull a stunt like Esau and his brother Jacob. No, he took his son Isaac. I keep thinking, what was he thinking about on that journey? He took wood for the fire, for the burnt offering. He actually cut the wood himself, knowing this is what I'm going to use to burn up my child. And then he moved. He followed God. And they went for 3 days. On the third day of their journey, he had many opportunities to turn back. He had many opportunities to negotiate himself out of this, but love compelled him to keep going. 3 days is a long time to think about killing your child. He continued the journey and he looked up and saw the place God told him about. And he told his servants, "Stay here. I and the boy will travel a bit further." You know, interesting thing was, he told them, "We will worship there and then we will come right back." Do you think Abraham was lying? I don't think so. I just think that Abraham knew that the love he had for God in obeying God was nothing compared to the love that God had. He probably said to himself, if God needs to resurrect this boy, then he will, because he's a God who does miracles. Abraham knew God and he loved God. So Abraham placed the wood offering on his son's shoulder. He actually made the boy carry what he was going to burn him up with. And the boy dug in deeper into the wound by asking him, "Father, we have fire, we have wood. Where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" And Abraham must have just been thinking, "My son, oh, if only you knew. But let's just keep going, because God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering." And they walked on, maybe in silence. Or maybe Isaac was asking different questions. "That butterfly that passed, what is the name? Daddy, what's the name of this ticket? Where are we going this far? Daddy, do you have biscuit? Daddy, are you..." He must have kept talking. And Abraham must have been thinking, "Shush, son. Let the last couple of minutes I remember you by, let it be better than this." And Abraham took his son and he tied his son Isaac. It's amazing how they keep repeating that word Isaac, so we know which son he was sacrificing. He tied his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up that knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And because we serve a loving God, at that moment, the angel of the Lord stopped him and called from heaven. Called from heaven. "Abraham," he says, "don't lay a hand on that boy. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God." I think that he also meant to say, "You truly love God, because you did not withhold from me even your son, your only son." Listen, must have taken a lot for Abraham to sacrifice this boy. A lot. But proof of love is obedience. He had gotten to the point where, "I love you more than anything else, God. Whatever you want from me is what I will give you." Now today, God may not ask you to lay down your child. Doesn't need it. He's killed his son already. But he may ask you to do some hard things. Some very hard things. Maybe hard in your book. But you see, one thing I've learned about God is you can never outgive him. So whatever you give to him, he's going to give you much more in return. Whatever you do to bless God is going to bless you much, much more in return. So don't be afraid to show God how much you love him by obeying him. He said, "If you love me, you obey me." It's not enough to say you love God. Your actions must speak louder than your words. God must be sure that you love him. And how do you show God you love him? Simple. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." So today, I challenge you to make up your mind that your proof of love for God will always be obedience. So no matter what he asks you to do, from today, make up your mind that you will do it. And everything you find in the scripture that is His desire, you will live it out in your life. And make sure you make that commitment before you have breakfast. Good morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. Bible Before Breakfast with Mildred Kingsley-Okonkwo.